He's bad. He's beautiful. He's crazy. It's
Rich Eisen.
But we start this program today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With two words. Question fatigue.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Have you got a good Taylor Swift story for me?
She makes a mean homemade Pop-Tart.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Bucks general manager Jason Light, Sports Illustrated senior writer Chris Mannix, co-host of ABC's Live with Kelly and Mark, Mark Consuelos. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel. Thrilled to be here, as always, between the hours of 12 to 3 Eastern. Live on the Roku channel, which is available on every Roku device known to man. Samsung Smart TVs, select some of those. Amazon Fire TV is how you can get the Roku channel. The Roku app has the Roku channel within it and the RokuChannel.com on the internet, too. As we say hello to the Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate that is smart enough to have us over 70 coast to coast and strong. And we're also on Sirius XM Odyssey, our podcast listeners. A good Friday to all of you. It's the Friday before free agency in the National Football League world. Lots going on there. The NBA, we saw the Celtics and the Nuggets go at it last night. The Nuggets sweep the season series from the Celtics. Keep that in your mind's eye. Carl Anthony Towns is getting surgery on his torn meniscus. He's out a month, and Anthony Edwards is like, I got it. So the Minnesota Timberwolves got it done last night in breathtaking fashion with the Ant-Man personally doing it on both ends of the floor and using his head on the back of a rim to block a shot to try and tie the game with no mere seconds to go last night. A lot of fun in the association. Chris Mannix will be in studio to talk about that in person. Tom Pelissero will join us in 18 minutes, Tom. We got a newsmaker from Tampa, Florida. The general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jason Light, will join us as soon as he's done with his press conference, introducing Mike Evans once again as a wide receiver in that organization. Mark Consuelos is in town because the Oscars are on Sunday. He and Kelly Ripa are doing a show on Monday after the Oscars. Lots to talk about on this program with you as well. 844-204-RICH. The table is set for me to say hello to you, Chris Brockman. What's going on, brother?
Nothing, man. Basketball's over.
What's more likely later on today? That's good.
Yeah, what's more likely?
Okay, good to see you, DJ Mikey D. Isn't D's nuts?
Good morning,
what's going
Rich
on,
how
man?
You doing?
Good to see you here on a Friday.
Yes.
Awesome. Boats in the slip, ready to go.
Boats in the slip.
Awesome. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Candles lit.
Candles lit. It smells great. What's up, fellas?
What is it? Ooh. What's the smell today? What's the scent?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the scent, Sarah.
Because you removed the label?
No, our makeup artist, Sarah, she brings me these sometimes. And this candle is called Sarah's Last Nerve today.
Oh, is that right?
So, so it doesn't give you a
I don't think we've ever seen that. But I don't know what the scent is for that.
No,
but
I
very good.
Woods Creek candles.
Well, good. Good to see everybody here in this neighborhood. So we begin this show. Thanksgiving weekend, 2023. Why? Well, because on that weekend, Friday of that weekend in the National Football League, first time we saw an NFL game played for your viewing pleasure. On the Friday after Thanksgiving. And the Jets started Tim Boyle on that day.
Tim Boyle.
There he is against the Miami Dolphins. I don't know if this is the moment where the Jets were trying to take advantage of a late first half interception of Tua Tagovailoa and turn it into points with a Hail Mary. And instead, Javon Holland had the first ever pick six return of a Hail Mary. Calling it a fail Mary. We learned that term. Never seen that before. So we saw Tim Boyle do his thing for the Jets on that Friday. 2 days later, the Giants played on that same field in MetLife Stadium. But Tommy Cutlett's out there.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy DeVito.
He had a
12-yard touchdown pass to Isaiah Hodgins on that day against Brockman's New England Patriots, and that was the only touchdown scored in the game. Wasn't pretty, but the Giants won it. Turned out to be Mac Jones' final start for the Patriots in 2023. We'll see if that's the case for evermore.
And Brockman wept.
And Tommy DeVito, that was in the middle of a 3-game win streak for him and a very Jeremy Lin-like run. As the quarterback of the Giants. Kevin Moss like run.
Kevin Moss.
As quarterback of the New York Giants.
Nice.
Why am I mentioning this?
Yeah, why, Rich?
Well, because yesterday, news flashed on the, let me get this correct, because this is not in my RSS feed. The Look Into It podcast with Eddie Bravo. Aaron Rodgers said, I'm hopeful I can play two or three or four more years, but you need to have some good fortune in there too. Good fortune. Those are words not usually associated with the New York Jets. After kind of felt like we had the good fortune of Aaron Rodgers having an intention to play for the Jets and then actually making it happen, and only we know, yada, yada, yada. He wants to play two, three, or four more years. God bless you, Aaron. I'm just wondering if, because the fourth year would take him to age 44 in the middle of that year. He's one of those guys you can't say it's impossible to be the next Brady. Play till you're 45, keep slinging it, have a renaissance of a career, a Hall of Fame career post 40, as Tom Brady had. If that was just his own career, he would have had a Hall of Fame career post 40, right? Listen, I'm wondering if Aaron's throwing that out there just in case the Jets are thinking of kicking a tire on a rookie quarterback, having apparently spoken to all the rookie quarterbacks at the combine that are at the top of the draft, with the exception of J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if you saw that look I shot to the camera as J.J. was in the booth live and I was going through it. He spoke to the Jets. He goes, no interview. I just had an informal with them, which is like basically they sing hi in the hallway.
Yeah, walk past the donut.
But at any rate, wondering if Aaron's just throwing that out there. I could play four more years, Jets, as you get ready to potentially Jordan love me. And I mention this because is it possible we go from Tim Boyle and Tommy DeVito on a single weekend in MetLife in 2023 to a single weekend at MetLife Stadium in 2024, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson? Is that entirely possible? Well, it does appear that Russ returned to the scene of his lone Super Bowl victory. Yes, that did happen in MetLife against the Broncos, who, as we all know, famously traded for Russ and gave him a $245 million five-year contract extension on which he will play the grand total of zero downs. Adam Schefter and many of my NFL Media Group colleagues reporting today that Russell Wilson met with the Giants in an exploratory meeting. Now then, let's piece this all together. Let's piece it all together, shall we? Russell Wilson going to the Giants. I told you at the combine, I heard the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. They're done thinking of him as the long-term answer. As we all know, he blew out his knee after suffering a neck injury last year. And before all that, he looked brutal. He didn't look anything like the guy in Minnesota. Nothing. By that, I mean the wild card victory in the Brian Daboll Coach of the Year arrival on the scene for the G-men. Looked nothing like him, with the exception of a second half comeback against the Arizona Cardinals for the Giants, who were just staring into the abyss of an 0-2 start after getting shut out in the season opener against the Giants. They were staring at an 0-2 start, and he came back and won that game 31-28 and then proceeded to lose the next four in a row. And the Giants actually, after that week two win, wound up losing seven of their next eight as Jones went out and Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito started the rest of the games from week six on. And the Giants have the sixth overall pick because of that result and might not have Saquon Barkley back. And certainly Jones, when he went out with a knee injury in November, when he did come back and DeVito did finish games, that he would be out 8 to 10 months. He's not going to start week one, folks. Who might start week one? You're going to throw Tommy Cutlets out there week one? You want us to re-sign Tyrod Taylor? Or give Russell Wilson a flyer and say, you're our guy. And if he starts winning football games for the Big Blue, Daniel Jones is coming back. You keep with the hot hand. As Russ is looking for a spot where if he's taking the league minimum and sticking the Broncos with the rest of the tab, he's not standing there with a backwards ball cap and an earbud in and being a good teammate. Solely. He wants to play football. He needs to get back on a career path that puts him in Canton, Ohio, and another ring on his finger like he had in MetLife on that night against the Broncos. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. And the Giants might give him the shot at week one. Who else is going to give him a shot at week one in the National Football League right now? Tough to find that place. Tough to find him. So when I heard he's good with the Giants, okay. Because we heard he was going to be talking to the Steelers. And sure enough, we saw photographs of him flying commercial to Pittsburgh. I think we just saw a picture of it. Pop it back up there again, if you don't mind. Oh, yeah, there he is with the pilots on the plane.
Nice.
And seeing that shot of him, people were taking pictures of him, taking pictures of someone else. This one right here, Schefter put this one. I'll tell you this, and I believe, keep this up for a second, seeing a photograph of him taking snaps with fans as he's walking through the airport, flying commercial. No better way to show you mean business in looking for a job than by saying, I will fly out of Newark. I'm telling you.
I agree.
100%, hands down.
100%.
Is a way to show you are
come on.
Fully committed.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. You are fully committed.
100%.
I will deal with Newark International Airport
just
is a way to say,
if you got a bag.
I got this thing.
They've redone it. Newark's nice.
Excuse me.
No.
Excuse me.
No.
And it's closer than JFK.
Excuse me. I'm 54 years old. When I fly out of Newark, I feel like I'm 105 by the time my ass hits the seat.
Wow.
So get out of here.
You are not welcome
all right.
in Jersey.
So excuse me.
I'm not welcome now either.
I will curse the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey till my dying days.
Goodness.
I agree, Rich.
That shows commitment
yes.
to the craft
man.
And trying to find a job.
TJ Russ had those.
But in all seriousness, he's flying commercial.
Brett 11.
To me, that's the headline.
That's respect.
What the hell?
Respect.
Now, how did Schefter get this photo?
I'm sure he's seeing it online. And
he
he's
took
just,
it from someone else's Twitter.
Yeah, like, where did he search?
Well, he didn't,
Russ is a man airport? Of the people.
Credit
Russ,
them?
Airport.
Come on now.
Good thing Del Tufo wasn't sitting in seat 1B.
Oh, my.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're retired from talking to people on the plane.
That's right.
But listen, he's going to Pittsburgh now. He's flying to Pittsburgh. And he's apparently going to walk past the Mr. Rogers exhibit and the Franco Harris Immaculate Reception statue
and
George Washington
and the T-Rex
and
the full-on
Pittsburgh
nice.
Commercial flight experience.
Got to take a photo with
you know,
Franco,
right? Stopping off and getting a Cinnabon.
It's there.
Sneaking. And I wonder if Russ is like walking through and saying, why do you need a package of bugles that big?
And why is it $28?
For a water?
Like, airport prices.
But he's going to Pittsburgh where they're not going to tell him you can be the week one starter. And I saw the way my comments into this microphone were covered and aggregated yesterday. I saw it. Rich Eisen says Kenny Pickett will have to, you know,
you
compete.
Fans,
Russell
right?
will compete for the job. I know. And I love talking Steelers football because I love the coach. I love the team. I love the city. I love the history. I love everything about it. And I appreciate that they're listening to what I'm saying. Trust me. You know, I'm one of those few people who like being right rather than being heard. But if I'm heard too and I wind up being right, then that's the win. I believe they love Kenny Pickett there. What do you think? They're going to just tell him to Pittsburgh? Welcome to Pittsburgh, Russ. You're going to be the week one starter. Of course not. They're going to say, you come here. We've got a great facility. We're the Pittsburgh friggin' Steelers. And that's George Pickens. That's Najee. Hey, you remember Beastquake? We got Bergquake. You know, I mean, we got Jaylen Warren. For the moment, Deontay Johnson. Freiermuth. Offensive lines, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, he's got the same patches you have. I'm Mike Tomlin. And I approve this message. Like, that's what they're going to say to him, but when it all comes down to it, are they going to tell Kenny Pickett, you're a first-round pick from 2 years ago? We kind of love you. We loved you then. We still believe in you now. But, sorry, this is Russ's job? So, to sum up, Giants might be the better fit. I think he wants to go to New York. He won the Super Bowl there. He and Ciara can wind up in page six if that's what, you know, lights his fire. See the play? Like, just look at Rodgers living his best life before his Achilles blew up. Russ could do that too. Wind up on Broadway, do all that stuff. And the Giants, I think, would say to him, you're week one. And then when Daniel Jones comes back, we'll deal with that then. But if you play, you're the hot hand. You're our guy. In Pittsburgh, I don't think they'll get that. And then the other thing, I'm telling everybody out there, all free agents that want to show that they mean business about finding a job in the National Football League, fly through Newark and have a photograph taken of it. Because that shows you have the gumption, the stomach, the want to. Because, geez, is that place the worst.
But, Rich, I'm going to Seattle.
The worst.
You still want to go through Newark?
Get out of here. I am so thrilled I could talk about a news subject on this show while slagging on Newark International Airport at the same time. It is a dream. For a kid from Staten Island, it's come true. Whew, I feel better.
Average Eisen Show, vote now. Worst New York area
airport. Please,
please,
please.
Oh,
please,
it's not even a question.
Please, please.
I mean,
excuse me. It's a waste of your time.
Yeah.
I just put it up.
It's a waste of your time.
EWR.
Get out of here.
They've redone it. It's nice now.
It's not.
I was just there last year. It's
I was just there. It's Christmas. Oh, yeah. Great. It's still great. What Rich is saying.
Go
I'm
hang
telling
you.
And it's closer.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are nuts.
Have a good time.
That AirTran thing.
Tom Pelissero. That's the way we start this program. Tom Pelissero is going to join us. So much to talk about, a preview free agency. Let's take a break and have as much time for him as possible. Tommy P will join us next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Happy anniversary to you, Chris. Happy 1 year anniversary
to
you.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you very much.
I don't believe Evan in Portland will have a similar celebration. This happened on the Rich Eisen Show 1 year ago today.
All right. I'm not going to come at you with stats. I'm not going to come at you with like facts or anything like that. All I'm going to say, man, it's right now Wednesday the 8th. 10 a.m. basically.
Yep.
I'm going to call you back a year from now, and you're going to write me an apology letter by talking all this smack about Daniel Jones.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to want a handwritten apology letter, too.
I'm sorry
for my bad opinion, and you were right. Daniel Jones is a good quarterback and worth the money. And I tell you what, if I'm wrong, I will Venmo you for a steak dinner of your choice.
Oh!
Whoa!
Do I get to pick the restaurant?
Yeah, you don't want him to go to Mastro's out here.
Please, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. Evan?
Be reasonable with it, but
okay.
Hey,
of course. All right, Evan.
All right.
Deal.
Where's Evan in Portland?
Boom!
Where are we going to eat, boys?
But you haven't gotten a Venmo. We haven't gotten a call.
I haven't gotten a call.
He said he would call back 1 year from Evan today.
In 365 days.
Evan.
Where you at, brother?
If you're out there and you're healthy and you're happy, which we're going to assume the healthy part, because Daniel Jones didn't make you happy last year.
I'm hungry.
Yeah?
Like you want a steak? I want a breakfast steak.
For Al Michaels?
I want no breakfast vegetables.
Steak? No green, nothing green.
No green. I might get, should we get the lobster shrimp add-on?
Oh,
100%. No. Don't do Evan that way. Get something cutlets for him. Get some cutlets add-on.
I can taste it. My mouth is
so
like
we
watering.
Go to Mateo's for some cutlets.
Ooh.
Sinatra's got a
booth. By the way, it's Mateo's, not Mateo.
Is it Mateo?
Yeah. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk.
Perfect end.
Furnished by Grainger.
The perfect end.
With supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
It's called Mateo's.
No. M-A-D-E-O.
No, M-E-T-T-E-O is in Westwood. Okay. That's where Sinatra used to go.
Okay. Very
thank
good.
You. So, Paul, well, take the applause.
Tom Pelissero, my buddy, back from Combine and everything else here on the Rich Eisen Show from the NFL Media Group. Good to see you, Tommy P. How are you, Tom?
Doing great, Rich. What's up to my boys in the studio?
Hey, Tommy P.
What's up, Tommy?
Such pandering. Woo. Such pandering.
Always. That's what I do best.
Kissing babies.
I just
which one is the baby here? All of them?
I texted okay. yesterday, obviously. Rich. I can't believe we didn't see him in Vegas. I saw everybody but Tommy
That's
P.
That's true. Where were
I
you?
I was invited.
Where were you?
You never brought me over. What do you want me to do?
Wow. We walked around everywhere.
We literally saw
and
all
didn't
your
see
coworkers.
You.
Exactly.
You want me to like sidle up to your set and be like, hey guys, can I come
no,
on?
No, you didn't. We were deep in Nickelodeon land.
We just missed you, bro.
All right. Good to see you. So what's the scoop with Russell Wilson? What's happening?
Russell Wilson has begun the very high profile tour of potential places that he could land. It's such a unique situation, Rich, because you got a quarterback who is due $39 million to not play for the Broncos this season. It's subject to offsets. So there's no difference between Russell signing for the minimum and signing for $39 million because he gets the same amount of money. Expectation is wherever he goes, he's going to sign a minimum type deal, at least for 2024. We'll see then if they try to do something multi-year, something out into 2025. I also can't help but look at the way even the reporting so far, Rich, has gone on this because our intrepid teammate Ian Rappaport put out the initial tweet earlier today that Russell Wilson was spotted flying from Newark. And I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have it in front of me. Spotted flying from the Newark airport to Pittsburgh to meet with the Steelers, hanging out with fans and taking photos, which it by all appearances, that's exactly what was going on. I am just struck by this fact, which is Russell Wilson at this stage in his career, he's spent a couple of years in a lot of ways being a punchline for a lot of people in the media and for fans. He did play at a higher level last season, but it ended with Sean Payton chewing him out on the sideline and getting benched for the last couple of games and publicly accusing the Broncos of benching him over money and doing illegal things, even though the intention of what the Broncos were doing with the adjusted contract was to give a pathway where he'd still be the quarterback in 2024 while gaining some flexibility for the organization. You are going to get the full Russell Wilson show. I don't know what you're going to get in terms of on the field. Again, he did play better last season statistically. He was more efficient here. But in terms of everything being about social media, everything being a big deal, the idea that he's going to go to, let's say, the Giants and just going to be the backup, and if Daniel Jones falters, no. Russell Wilson is coming in, and it's going to be a massive storyline wherever he goes. Everything is going to be, you know, he released, I don't know if you saw, Rich, a new clothing line last week. So if you need some Russell Wilson socks, those are available to you.
This Tom,
when
I'm
back and quarterback.
I'm not interested in his footwear. What I'm interested in is who's going to give him the starting gig, right? And the Giants don't.
That's it.
Well, no, I know that. But the Giants are have to prep for Daniel Jones not being ready week one. They might draft one because, you know, it sure sounds like everything that I was told at the Combine, they have soured on him, that they do not view Daniel Jones as the future anymore. And they've got to reset. they got to reset fast as possible. And Pittsburgh, I don't think, is going to just hand Russ the job either, right? So, and he, wherever he goes, he's going to want to play.
Places like that,
right?
Places like Pittsburgh, to me, it makes sense. Listen, Russ Wilson's won a lot of football games. He's a veteran, was available on the cheap. You bring him in, you spend some time with him. I don't see a place like Pittsburgh as a fit, because my understanding has been they want to give every opportunity for Kenny Pickett with a new offensive coordinator to go out and show he was worthy of the number one pick. And Russell Wilson dropping into that situation and coming in as QB2 and having to win the job doesn't seem like, again, a guy who is taking photos and releasing clothing lines and everything else is really apt to do. I mean, it reminds me a little of Cam Newton. When you got further into Cam Newton's career, he was never just going to come in and just be the backup. I remember Cam, you know, mentioned something at one point that Bill Belichick said to him about how it just didn't make sense for him to be a backup within the league. And at one point when Russell Wilson was in Seattle and the Seahawks were the only team with the fortitude at the time to bring in Colin Kaepernick for a visit, and Pete Carroll told Kaepernick in that meeting, you know, you're a starter. Like, we don't have a starting job. You're a backup. Different circumstances with all these, but there's some of the same types of things here with Russ. Again, he's going to be highly paid, not by the team that he's actually playing for this season. The Giants are unique just in regard to, as you said, Rich, obviously Daniel Jones did not play well enough. Then he got hurt last season. They still owe him like $35 million fully guaranteed this year. Could we see another team eat that much guaranteed money to move on from somebody? It seems unlikely at this point. The Giants drafting somebody to come in while having Daniel Jones would on paper make more sense. But this is the NFL in 2024, where all these things that you would have said even 10 years ago, well, that doesn't make any sense. They're not going to eat all this money. They're not going to eat all this dead cap. Teams do it every year. We see surprising things happen here. You just got to know if you're bringing in Russell Wilson, you're bringing in the whole Russell Wilson package. And if you dig into the background of how things ended in Seattle and in Denver, even at a cheap price, you might have some additional questions.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Walk me through the timeline of how Kirk Cousins is going to play out over this weekend and then when the negotiating window opens Monday.
I believe that Kirk Cousins is going to take this into Monday, and he's going to want to see what exactly the marketplace is out there, which is kind of what the Vikings had preferred to let him do as well. In other words, when they were trying, since Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah got there, and by the way, Kirk over the last 2 years, prior to the Achilles injuries, played the best that he ever has. Part of the problem with negotiating extensions for Cousins, whether it's the one-year extension he did a year ago, or it's trying to do, or excuse me, 2 years ago, or it's trying to, you know, do a multi-year deal, you don't ultimately know what someone else is going to pay, and so you're kind of negotiating off what Kirk has made in Minnesota. So it makes sense for both sides for Kirk to go out and figure out exactly what his market is. I'm sure that his agent, Mike McCartney, who, you know, has done deals that have fully guaranteed money to Kirk Cousins for 9 years running here, going back to the franchise tags in Washington, probably has a pretty good grasp of who's interested here. But, you know, in terms of what actually happens and how far a team's willing to go contract-wise, that's something that I think is going to mirror what happened back in 2018 when Cousins hit free agency the last time. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Atlanta. I fully anticipate that Atlanta is going to be involved here. There are some other teams, like even Denver, that could potentially be involved on Kirk Cousins. And the Vikings do want Kirk Cousins back. It's just a matter of, it's got to be at a price that they can stomach here. I don't think this is a scenario where, you know, going back again a couple of years ago, I believe it was on the Sunday night, and Cousins and the Vikings did a one-year extension and, you know, they moved forward at that point. I don't get that sense this time, Rich. I think that everybody wants Kirk to go out and see the market. And once we get to Monday, and I think it's noon Eastern time that negotiating window opens, I would anticipate, not a guarantee, but I would anticipate things move pretty quickly.
Well, your colleague, our colleague Kevin Seifert of ESPN, reported that if the Vikings sign him after Cousins hits the market based on his contract, there's a dead money figure of $28.5 million that creates a prohibitive cap figure for Cousins for this year. So there's kind of, is it true?
Wednesday
after Wednesday, right? So that's,
you've got the negotiating window. The new league year, the way Cousins' contract is set up, is like a lot of contracts now coming out of COVID. There were a lot of deals done this way where they add these phony years at the end, voidable years, to spread out the cap hit. So just to give everybody a real quick cap lesson here. So when a contract voids, on the day that it voids, everything that's into future years accelerates into the current cap year. If you release somebody after the start of the league year, then you can spread it out over 2 years. You designate it what they call a post-June 1 cut, which is why some of these guys, you know, Xavier Howard's one, Russell Wilson is one. You have the opportunity to spread it out over 2 years. But when a contract is voiding early, you don't have that option. That would void. And in fact, all that dead cap would accelerate into the current year. But you've still got about a 52-hour window, if I'm doing the math right there, Rich, where Cousins can go out, see what's there, and then figure out if the path forward is in Minnesota or someplace else. I don't think this is going to go into Wednesday. I don't think it's going to be Cousins needs to go take visits. I think that pretty clear who the teams involved are going to be. Whether it's Monday or Tuesday, I don't know. But I do think that it's going to come together quickly, and that's going to bear on everything else that happens in a really fascinating quarterback market.
That's what I wanted to basically point out here, is that for Vikings fans that are hoping that Cousins stays, you got to hear Monday or Tuesday, essentially, it's done, right? Because he can't kind of hit that market on Wednesday. That there's a prohibitive, somewhat, monetary figure that's in there.
And everything's... Yeah, it's largely prohibitive, but again, teams take
people
crazy
move
cap
it around.
Hits. There's a lot of stuff. I don't think that's going to come into play here. Then you've got, obviously, Baker Mayfield, who's another big name in the market. There's a lot of different places he could end up. Tampa's always made the most sense for Baker, but they've got another, 3 days here to try to work something out, or else Baker is going to be an unrestricted free agent. And if you miss out on those two guys, then your options are, besides obviously the draft where you've got several top prospects, you could have as many as 6 quarterbacks go in the first round. But if you are a team that wants a veteran, your options are Russell Wilson at a cheap rate, but somebody who you're going to have to be comfortable with the whole package and have a clear vision of how you're going to play football with them. It's making a trade for Justin Fields, which at this point, it does not feel like anything is imminent on the Fields front. Or you go into that next category of the free agent quarterbacks where you're going to find Ryan Tannehill, who we'll see what Tannehill's plans are, if any, for 2024 here. Gardner Minshew, who played at a high level. Gardner's going to want to go and have an opportunity to start somewhere. So I don't think that there's a clear path for him just to go back and be Anthony Richardson's backup in Indianapolis. And then there's some others like Sam Darnold and Jacoby Brissett. You got other guys with starting experience like Tyrod Taylor and Josh Dobbs. There's a bunch of names, but it very much is a domino effect in the quarterback market, because you've got clear 2 walk-in-the-door starters in Kirk and Baker. You certainly can make the case that a guy like Fields or Wilson, if you're acquiring them, they're going to be your starter as well. And then you got all these other kind of borderline type guys at a time where you easily can look around the league and say there's 8 to 10 teams where, you know, maybe they draft a quarterback, but you're not going to know that till the end of April. You're going to want to have some type of a contingency plan in place right now.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just said that you don't think anything's imminent on the Justin Fields front. If Cousins goes to Atlanta, where in the world does Justin Fields wind up, Tom?
And that's the great question. And it's who is willing to give up a significant draft pick for Justin Fields? Because let's play hypotheticals here for a second.
Sure.
If your best offer, let's say the Bears' best offer, again, I'm just spitballing here, their best offer is a 4th-round pick right now for Justin Fields prior to the start of free agency. If I'm Ryan Poles, as much as he said, well, we want to do right by Justin and that, I have a hard time stomaching that I'm going to give up a guy who we all know what the 1-loss record is with Justin Fields. We know, you know, the up and down play, but he still played a lot of games in the NFL. I don't know that I'm rushing to give away Justin Fields for a day 3 draft pick. So then could they hold him till closer to the draft? Just kind of see how a lot of different things shake. There's going to be teams trying to trade up for quarterbacks. They might miss out. Maybe your best value on Justin Fields doesn't come until the Friday or even Saturday of the draft. Mm. This is all part of like the game here. I know last year the Bears moved really swiftly. I think it was around March 9th, which that'd be tomorrow, where they, you know, traded the number 1 pick and they started maneuvering here. This one is a little bit different. I've said this, Rich, every time I've come on the show for months here. Everything that the Bears have done to this point, every indication that I've gotten is that they'll want to draft Caleb Williams. That'll be the number 1 pick. And then Justin Fields is probably playing football someplace else. But there's nothing saying they have to do this. There's no trigger in Fields' contract. There's nothing saying you have to make the trade. Now, we've seen big trades happen during draft week. In the past, there have been plenty of quarterbacks who have gone and started someplace, and those deals get done like Monday or Tuesday. You may not have every team, all 32 teams, with a clear starting plan in lieu of a rookie in place by the end of April here. So they can afford to be patient. They can afford to play this out. They still got to get Caleb Williams in and do the medical and all that. Not that anybody's anticipating any red flags on that front. But as much as early on, it seemed like maybe the first two dominoes were going to be Russell Wilson and Justin Fields ahead of the market. Russell's obviously out there. He's at minimum visiting teams right now. With Fields, again, this can all change overnight. There could be one phone call today and he could be gone, but don't get the sense that it's imminent right now.
All right, let's talk about a couple other issues before sending you on your Friday into your free agent week. Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everything could be a clue, a nugget. We never know. And that's where, you know, Twitter posts come in handy sometimes. Chris Jones tweeting out Casey and then a whole bunch of ellipses, two of them, it looks like. A lot of yada, yada, yada on this photograph of Andy Reid jumping on top of Chris Jones after they officially were back-to-back champions. Interpret this for me, sir. What do you have?
First of all, I'd say that's not a real friendly angle right there for Andy Reid. It looks like Chris Jones has been just been attacked by a gorilla at the zoo. I don't know if Andy wants that to be the lasting image of him as the head coach of the Chiefs. But no, I mean, we all checked, obviously. It does not sound like anything at that point, which was, I think that was 2 days ago, that anything was,
yesterday. Happening at that point. It was yesterday. And we had Andy Reid on. And he's like, if I knew anything, I'd tell you. He has no idea. But I'm, you know, normally these things are like KC coming back, or, you know, there were six dots. So you checked in on it. What's the status, Tom?
There's certain guys who like the social media, Rich, and like to make people chase things. Stephon Diggs is another one who, you know, you get 100 different cryptic things. And then eventually one of them is, hey, he got traded to the Bills. I mean, every single time, and you keep asking. With Chris Jones, listen, there's a very short list of players in this free agent class who are going to get $30 million or more per year on a new contract. It is Kirk Cousins. It is maybe Baker Mayfield that could come in on either side of that. And it's Chris Jones. That's it. Chris Jones is the guy. The question I would tell you that other teams have about Chris Jones is, if the Chiefs don't pay him that top of the market Aaron Donald type money, who is? Who is in the market for that guy? Listen, Chris Jones is not an old player, but he's not a really young player either at this point. There's a lot of value that he brings to Kansas City that goes beyond just the statistics here. I anticipate wherever he goes, he's getting a massive, massive type of deal. It seems like the most logical place is in Kansas City. They've still got, you know, 72 hours or so here to get something done before the market opens up. But remember this too, Rich. This is the same guy who last year, you know, missed a paycheck at the start of the season and was, you know, in the luxury box with his agents watching that opener game. Anybody who was thinking, well, why don't the Chiefs just tag him? He wouldn't have shown up on the tag. And the tag would have been an astronomical figure. He's very convicted. This could be a situation where if he doesn't feel like this is the contract, he might be willing to wait. It might not be something that happens this weekend or on Monday here. I think it's a fascinating one just because it's such a unique player who's won at the absolute top level. There's not another guy like him available in free agency. There's not another guy available like him in the draft. He is going to get paid. The only question is now how high. And I'd say right now, if you were looking on either side of that Aaron Donald figure, which I think was 31 million point something on a short-term extension that got him to come back from retirement, you're probably saying Chris Jones beats that.
Last year, there was a whole host of running backs that had franchise tags on them when the new league year week hit. This year, none. Not so much. Handicap the running back market for me and what people should watch out for.
I would say the three that are going to be, you know, the ones that, and they all could have some of the similar types of suitors that are going to get the top of the market type of value, at least in terms of this running back class, are going to be Saquon, it's Josh Jacobs, and it's Derrick Henry. Now, Chris McCaffrey is still the highest paid running back at $16 million a year. Saquon would have loved to get there. He turned down a lot of money from the Giants on multiple occasions, both last March and last July. I find it hard to believe that even by hitting the free agent market, he's going to get into that territory. But him or Josh Jacobs are probably the two that if somebody's getting $11, $12, $13 million per year, it's probably one of those two guys. Derrick Henry, a little bit different category because he's older. He's led the league in carries four out of the last 5 years, so there's a lot of mileage on him. But in terms of a short deal, maybe it's two for 20 to a team like Baltimore that has an obvious need at the running back position. that wouldn't surprise me at all. And then, you know, in terms of everybody else, there's a bunch of really good running backs. I mean, Austin Eckler has been as productive as any running back during the course of his career. The numbers were down last year. There's a lot of different factors that were involved with that. He might be looking at, you know, maybe it's a one-year deal with a lot of upside for an Austin Eckler. DeAndre Swift, another guy who I don't see DeAndre Swift being somebody who's getting close to $10 million per year, but certainly I anticipate he's going to have a market here. The ones that will move quickly, Josh Jacobs, Saquon, and Derrick Henry. With Jacobs and Saquon, there's certainly a possibility they go back to their existing teams. I know how much Mark Davis thinks of Josh Jacobs, what a tone setter he is, what a good locker room guy he is. I would fully anticipate in these coming days here, the Raiders will make some type of a push to try to keep him. With the Giants, you know, it's kind of like what we talked about with Kirk Cousins, where after, you know, they've made several runs at getting a Saquon deal done, they didn't tag him at $12 million, in part because it's probably a good thing if he goes out and sees, is somebody like the Chargers with a new coaching staff and Jim Harbaugh, that they roll it out and give him $15, $16 million a year. Anything's possible. The Chargers obviously would need to clear a lot of space to start making moves like that. But let Saquon go out, find out what the real market is. Then the Giants can see whether or not that's a place that they're willing to go with.
All right, Tom. I know there's no crystal ball, but before you go, and I know this is not your usual bag here, but give me the surprise. There's always one where it's like, whoa, that team did that with that player? Give me one you think that's going to happen Monday or Tuesday.
I think that the surprise things that are going to happen over the next several days here. I'll speak somewhat broadly here, Rich, but okay. I'll be as good of a roadmap as I can. I think that there are going to continue to be offensive linemen who get numbers who you've never heard of, and you're going, someone just gave Jonah Jackson $17 million a year. Mm-hmm. There are some offensive linemen, just Robert Hunt is going to get a ton of money. Mike Onwenu, who's doing his own deal from the Patriots, you know, he might get a big deal. There's going to be a bunch of those guys who are not household names at all. Mm-hmm. And you see the numbers and you're like, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. And the fact is they're good players. And that's a market that, while we've seen others shrink, the guard market is absolutely exploding. And then I think that if you get some surprises in terms of the big names, it might be some of these receivers being on the move. Because once Mike Evans re-signed with the Buccaneers, once Pittman and T. Higgins got taken off the market, those are really your top three potential free agents who are now not available to teams. Calvin Ridley is probably the next one. There's a lot the teams have to dig into in terms of how things played out in Atlanta. He had the year-long suspension, goes to Jacksonville, was kind of up and down, was finding his legs through the course of the season here. Beyond that, there's not like a clear – every year we got a receiver to get crazy money, and those are the ones that everybody's talking about. I don't know that we have that guy this season. Somebody will give Gabe Davis some money. Somebody will give Tyler Boyd some money. But, you know, is anybody getting $12, $15 million besides maybe Calvin Ridley? I don't know that I necessarily see that. But you've got, you know, some of those receiver names that we've talked about in the past, guys like Jerry Jeudy, you know, Mike Williams from the Chargers would be a guy with a big number, would be a logical trade candidate. Does somebody make a run at a Stephon Diggs? I think the environment, Rich, is ripe for teams that need a veteran receiver to go out and at least explore the trade market, make some calls on guys that you might not normally think are available, just because if you don't get one of those guys, there's really not, again, besides maybe Ridley, there's really not a number one type of guy available.
Tom, appreciate the time, man. I know your phone's probably buzzing like crazy. Look for, there it is right there. How many texts do you have that are unread right now? What's the number?
This interview 17 since the interview began.
Thank you.
We're averaging 1 minute. It'll pick up next week.
We'll chat again, Tom. Thanks again. Enjoy.
Thanks,
you bet. The great Tom Pelissero. Lots to chew on there. We'll talk about that in the association when we come back here. Chris Mannix in studio. But before that, Jason Light, the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as we roll to break on a busy Friday.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone, as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
Rockman just out of the blue. Where were you when you sent this tweet, Chris?
Oh, I mean, was that on a Sunday? Was it a Sunday night?
Don't remember.
I was probably just at home.
And you just said, you
watching
know what?
The games.
If the Eagles make the playoffs, I'll take
might
a bite out of Mike Del Tufo's hat. You said, I will take a bite out of Mike Del Tufo's hat.
Yeah.
Eagles have made the playoffs, and you have avoided the inevitable for a week. That ends now. I just sliced up a 1-inch by 1-inch cutout of Mike Del Tufo's Callaway hat, and I placed it like little Easter eggs into the half of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yep.
Take a bite. Ugh, here we go. Here you go. Brockman is taking a bite. Did you get a piece of the hat there?
Oh, I think
you did.
Oh, yeah.
You're the one who chose the peanut butter, too.
Trash can nearby?
Nope. Nope. We don't.
It's part of the hat sticking out. I didn't get it off.
Oh, that is an awful piece right there in that sandwich. No, you may not. As long as you eat it. Keep going.
Ugh.
Keep going. I didn't go through.
Oh, man, this piece is like right on my tooth.
Why did you even do this, Chris? You didn't have to. You took the McLovin
bait. Because the Eagles stink.
You took
the
McLovin bait. Oh, my God.
That was Sunday.
Radio audience, I can't even tell if that's a piece of glistening jelly or a piece of a glistening jelly, a jelly glistened Del Tufo hat piece. Down it. I feel like I'm talking to Taylor eating her broccoli. Just eat it and we'll get off your case. Oh, he just went one bite. He finished it. This is not going to be good. Because that is peanut butter, and it is jelly, and it is Del Tufo hat, and you just jammed literally 3-inch by 3-inch piece of sandwich.
It was a proud day for my future son.
Oh, my God. Are we showing that to Cage yet?
We should. Not.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Here, getting ready for Jason Light, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, holding a press conference. Reintroducing, I guess, Mike Evans to the Tampa Bay community. What up with Baker Mayfield? Should that be the way I start? What up with Baker Mayfield?
Yeah,
my boy.
Pretty much.
Treat my son with respect.
Yeah, see him taking batting practice the other day.
Who Baker did?
Yeah, I think with the Yankees. Is he?
Oh, really?
He's a lefty. He hits left-handed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, short porch. Take it downtown. I like it.
You need a bat? You need a lefty bat in the
line? Oh, there he is with Judge. Yeah. How about that? Oh, my God. Can I like Baker Mayfield anymore? The answer is yes, I can. Now I do. Oh, that's right. They're in Tampa. Nice stance.
Let me ask you this.
Out of Baker.
Would you rather have him backwards? Or Rodgers this year at quarterback?
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's a waste of my time. Have this conversation because Rodgers is kind of like, would I rather have Rod? I'll take the younger guy whose Achilles didn't explode.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Okay,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Giving me what I wanted.
Okay, now I'm going to get what I want from you.
Here, coach.
So the Nuggets took care of the Celtics last night.
Yeah.
And that's two in a row now for Boston, right?
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
Okay, I understand.
Not concerned.
Barkley basically said if they don't win, it would be a total disappointment. They don't win at all.
Well, they called it, what was his exact quote was much harsher.
Yeah,
which is kind of ridiculous for a team that hasn't won anything to suddenly say, if you don't win, this is the biggest failure of your career.
Okay. Now, that said, I did see this breakdown. It does, I would have gone deeper into what happened between the Celtics and the Nuggets, but.
Oh, I nailed
this
it.
This perfectly encapsulates.
Oh, sure.
Put it up. Yeah. Can't miss 9 free throws. Shoot 30% from 3 and have Tatum go 5 of 13 and expect to win. But all those things happen and still had a wide open look to take the lead under a minute to go. Going to be a 7-game series in the finals. So you're putting your team in the finals.
I think they're the clear favorite
okay,
at least.
Right. So if they're because going to the finals and don't win it, wouldn't that be a total failure for a team that
a
looks.
Total fair?
Yeah, yeah. You're putting them in the finals on March 8th.
Well, they've already been to the finals and had a 2-1 lead and lost it.
Okay.
So
good enough. Are you ready? You're still not ready to throw it out there, though, right?
Had they won last night, I would have been ramped.
Everybody needs to understand.
Would have been ramped.
That there is a hot take.
Yeah, just
that's over there. You know how sometimes here in Southern California or any other spot that. You know, it might be a desert town where it gets cold at night, but it's hot during the day. I mean, there's many places in our great country just like that.
Sure.
How you're sitting underneath a heat lamp, but you know the heat lamp's on from 10 feet away, right? It's really hot. Mm-hmm. You feel the heat. That's how I feel across from Brockman every day when the Celtics subject comes up because there's a take so hot,
man.
I feel the heat. Do you even feel it? Because you're further away from him, and you know the take.
I think I may have been the first one to get the take from him.
I know that. You heard it first.
I just want to be prepared. I want to have popcorn ready for when this happens, because I just want to sit back and enjoy this show.
That take is coming.
So just let me know in advance so I can make sure I got the Orville Redenbacher.
Two losses in a row have kept the lid on it.
Yeah, everyone can calm down with the Tatum MVP stuff. He's not going to win MVP. He's not the MVP of the league.
Who is?
The MVP of the week?
Yeah.
We watched him last night.
Jokic, right?
Dude, the guy's unbelievable.
It is again, right? Correct.
The guy's unbelievable. I think...
But is that going to happen, or people just have Jokic fatigue?
No, it's going to happen. I think he's a big, big favorite right now. I think...
He's so unbelievable.
Was it Worldwide Wob last night had a tweet or something? Like, Jokic getting the ball at the top of the key is like a blackjack. You're playing blackjack.
Yeah, I know.
And the dealer has an ace.
Yeah, I know.
And it's just like, oh, okay.
Okay.
How am I going to lose this hand?
How do you get insurance from Jokic at the top of the key?
You can't. There's no, I want to surrender and get half your bet back.
Like, you can't do it.
That doesn't happen. He's so good. Yeah,
and then there's other times where he's anywhere on the court and the dealer has a four, and you know the dealer's going to make 21 off of six more cards.
Right.
When you've got a face card, that's coming.
10-second analysis. Jaylen Brown had a huge game. Porzingis had a great night. Can't miss 7 free throws, Jaylen Brown. Like, come on. Derek White, where were you? Can't shoot 30% from three.
But you're still making the finals, and it's going 7.
For sure.
Okay, there we go. Chris Mannix in studio to discuss it, hour 2. So there you have it.
I mean, Tatum, 5 for 3. Like, just another no-show and a massive, regular season in March, fine. Come on, man.
How about Anthony Edwards? Tie game, hits a 3. Comes back down the floor after a stop, makes it 2. Then when it gets really close again, he just goes floater in the lane. He was just on fire. And then at the end of the game, comes out of nowhere and blocks the shot of Nembhard? Who was it at the end of the game? He gets up so high, he hits his head on the back of the rim.
Yeah, it was insane.
Right? And he said after the game he'd never felt pain like that in his life because it hit him.
It's like, cool, I'm 22. And
dude,
he hit his head and then he fell and he landed on his wrist.
Most importantly, yeah, that's what he said the pain was. But most importantly, this is knowing Cat's out for a month.
Right.
And that he's going to come back early. Apparently, we'll talk about it more with Mannix, early playoffs. Yeah. But for us to get this one seed, I got it.
Yep.
40-point night, big block at the end. I'll take it over with a minute and a half to go in Indianapolis. That was great.
Man. We're about to see him just go nuts. He might have like 10-40, like a Kobe strike.
That's because 40-point game. He might have to say, okay, Carl's out. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah. Well, if he's going to stay with that spot, he's going to have to. Yeah.
Jason Light, Tampa Bay Buccaneers general manager, when we come back to start hour 2 on a What's More Likely Friday.
Hey everybody, this is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day, plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.